Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luann Crane here with Ryan Dobson.
And Dad, we have a great program planned for our listeners today, but it needs a little bit of background. So why don't you start by setting this up for us?
Well, Ryan and Luann, I'm sure you both know that among the issues that I care about most and talk often about is the responsibility of Christians and churches to reach out to people who have disabled or special needs children. Often, folks who are raising such children feel absolutely alone and lost, and that no one cares. They feel rejected. And I have a hard time explaining that within the context of the Christian community. And I've seen these people up close and personal, and I have agonized for them for many years. So this is a frequent theme of what we do here. Now, when I was a professor of pediatrics at USC School of Medicine, I was in the divisions of medical genetics and child development. And many of the children that we saw in our ward were pitiful, and their parents were just barely surviving. And in fact, many of them didn't survive as an intact family. Listen to this. 80% of married couples with disabled children are eventually divorced because of the pressures that are on them. They're just so great. And here's another statistic that tells us a lot. 90% of disabled families, or families with a disability somewhere within it, are not churched. They're unchurched. And that's one of the saddest statistics that I've ever heard, because if there's anything a family with a child who is unhealthy needs, is the influence of a loving church that cares, would put an arm around each of them. And those of us who have healthy kids and mentally capable children need to reach out to those who aren't so fortunate. That's right. And that's what we're going to talk about again today. I don't think I could ever talk about it too much, because it's a need that just doesn't get met for some reason. And if we can influence some people who are listening to us today to be more intentional in the way they reach out to people who are struggling in this way.
Well, Doctor, it's what the body of Christ is for.
It certainly is. And I don't know why that case has to be made so often, but it really does. And unfortunately, it needs to be made to a lot of pastors, too. And I don't want to be, I don't overstate that, but that's a need. So we've invited Reverend David Glover to be with us in the studio today, because he runs a ministry designed to help meet the needs of disabled children and adults. And he's also the National Consultant for Disabilities for the North American Missions Board, which is a Southern Baptist entity. I think it's in Atlanta.
It's in Atlanta, Alpharetta.
Yes. Well, we just introduced the sound of your voice. David, welcome to Family Talk.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dobbs. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. I've been listening to you, reading your books probably since the time you started writing them. So I'm a baby boomer who is here with an idol today.
Oh, goodness. We're ordinary stuff, and the books that I write come out of Scripture, so I can't take the credit for it, but thank you. Let's talk about your ministry. It is called Pure Ministry.
Yes, sir.
Explain why.
Well, we discovered sort of when we first got into this that when we use the traditional terms of special needs or disabilities— it goes back to the fact that if people are like me, and most of them are, before my grandson was born, I would mentally and intellectually turn my brain off when I heard those words, because they sort of take us places where we don't want to go if we're not familiar with people with special needs. So we have these preconceived notions. And so as I was going out preaching and teaching about this in the early days of the ministry, I noticed people would sort of zone out when I would start talking about special needs and disabilities. And I could see them start to wonder what they're having for lunch or what they're doing that afternoon. And it was all because of this whole and again, words are pretty powerful, and those words are pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. And so they connote something that people are uncomfortable with, and it's awkward to them. And so we didn't decide. God gave us a term that we said, well, if we're going to really try to explain this to people, Christians in the church, then they've got to be able to listen long enough to understand what we're trying to say.
And that's a very good point. We've got people listening right now who may be inclined to turn that dial,
sure,
thinking,
yeah,
I don't have any interest in this, or it scares me.
Right.
And we're here to change that opinion.
The common thinking, and again, I'm the best example and the worst example, because I have a life to compare before my grandson was born, in which I thought I was a caring, loving Christian who loved Jesus as much as I possibly could, serving him in ways that I thought. And as it came to light, I didn't have a clue. And I would have been one of those people that would have just said, well, that's sweet, but I don't do that. Mm. Because the reasoning is, in our culture, is that if you are not a special needs parent or you're not a special ed teacher, then you have no obligation, no responsibility to even acknowledge that these people exist.
That is sad.
And it's sad, but it's the truth. And so to sort of circumvent that problem, God gave us the whole term of pure. And what we're saying is, if those words special needs and disabilities and then other more archaic terms like handicap are used, then and people won't listen, then let's do something that's positive and encouraging.
P-U-R-E.
P-U-R-E.
What does this stand for?
P stands for perfectly created by a loving sovereign God. Mm. And we're trying to address the whole notion there that children, teenagers or adults with a disability are not mistakes, that God wasn't taking a coffee break when he created these people. He designed them perfectly the way he wanted them for his purposes. We may not know what that is, but they are nonetheless perfectly created by this loving, sovereign God. U stands for unique in gifts and talents and desires and contributions that they can make, because so many of us think that a person with Down syndrome is just like every other person with Down syndrome. And that's not true, even though that's our, we just have that perception. So we're trying to emphasize the fact that pure people are no different than us.
They're all individuals.
Yeah. They're all unique. And if you talk to parents, they'll tell you that. They'll tell you how unique their child is or what have you. And so we're trying to address that. And then the other, problem in trying to promote this ministry among Christians and this culture as a whole is the R, which stands for receptive and responsive to our communication, even attempts to communicate, and acts of love. And Dr. Jim Pearson's a good friend of mine and who's really one of the pioneers in all of this. He had a saying, and I use all the time, is that no one is ever so disabled that they will not respond to an act of love. And again, they may not respond the way that we think is appropriate, or they may not respond at all, but that doesn't mean that they're not appreciative of it and receptive of it and love the attention that somebody would give them.
And E.
E is eternal. We're just trying to emphasize the fact that there are no disabled souls. And so from the church's perspective, those are, you can actually present the gospel as people ask, well, what does pure stand for? And so, again, I wish I had the brains to say that I thought it up, but I really feel like God gave it to us to use, and as a positive tool to sort of get through to people.
Well, we want to hear more about that as the program unfolds. First, I want to know your journey. You have 8 grandchildren?
I do. Yeah. Yes, sir.
And one of them is in heaven.
Exactly.
And was born with his own combination of problems.
Exactly.
Describe Zachariah for us.
Zachariah was our first grandson. And, we always joke with people and tell them, if you're going to be a parent and then be a grandparent, I would advise being a grandparent first. It's a lot more fun, a lot easier. But Zach was born a beautiful little boy, and we had no idea that anything was wrong with him. And in retrospect, thinking about what pure means, there really wasn't anything wrong with him. Mm-hmm. He was perfectly created. But he did have issues, and the first thing we understood was that he had hydrocephalus, and the shunt was put in, and
Well, that word means water on the
water
brain.
Water on the brain, right. And he had a whole series of maladies or issues that were diagnosed over a period of time. And that's one of the interesting things that we try to just educate people a little bit about. And that is, you know, before Zach was born, I would facetiously assume that when a child was born with a disability, then they had a toe tag that identified all of those things that say that were wrong with them, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's really not the case at all. In many cases, this diagnosis takes a long period of time. In fact, many issues of disability are never fully diagnosed. And so Zach's was diagnosed over about the first year of his life where he and in fact, our family, except for me, is a very medical kind of family. My wife's a nurse, and my daughter, Katie, who was Zach's mom, was a nurse. And she knew too much. Yeah. And so she knew what to look for in development and so forth. And so she noticed that Zach was not tracking correctly. And we found out at about 6 months that he was essentially blind. He may have seen some shadows, but we're not really sure. And then CP, cerebral palsy, started to manifest at about a year. And then seizures started occurring.
And then surgeries began.
And then surgeries, yes, sir. He had many surgeries, and which is typical with, in many cases, with the shunt. He had many what is called revisions. And so he had 15 surgeries in his short life.
I want to make sure people are tracking us. The shunt releases some of the pressure on the brain.
Yes, sir.
And that's a surgery is required to install that shunt in the head.
Right. And sometimes it clogs and those kinds of things. And so it's just sort of part of the life of a young child with this particular type of disability.
And yet you had no warning that this was coming, correct? This was your first grandchild.
Yeah.
Everything was sailing along. So you thought you were ushering in this new season of the next generation.
Exactly.
This came as a shock.
Right. And you know, Zach was just, you know, he was such a beautiful child that people would look at him and you would never know that anything was wrong with him or he had any of these things. Now, the cerebral palsy toward the time he died at 4.5 years old, very unexpectedly. But by the time he was about four, some of the, I guess, tendencies of cerebral palsy started to show up in some of the drawn hand and so forth. But if you just looked at him, he had beautiful eyes. And in fact, after his death, his eyes, we donated his eyes. So his eyes, which were perfect, beautiful eyes, are probably in some teenager today. What we learned through that journey of 4.5 years was the genesis of this ministry.
What did you feel when you first discovered that Zach had some problems?
That's a good question. You know, I remember my daughter called me in the middle of the night because we were all just still sort of euphoric that he was born and here and beautiful and great. And she called crying and said, there's something wrong with Zach. But we were just trying to comfort her. And, you know, we were basically ignorant of all of these issues of disability,
sure.
which once again, I always just want to point back to the self is that we don't believe like we're doing something in this ministry that is, I laugh about it, it's not rocket science. And I'm such a good example because, you know, I'm just living my life. And then God gives us this little boy. And so through that whole process, he teaches us so many different things. And one of them was, you know, that just this, the great value that this little boy was to us. In fact, I wouldn't be sitting here getting to do this if it were not for Zach. And so he taught me so many things. We were his granddaddy, me. I was his favorite person.
Yeah, and you were very close.
Very close. We lived close, and I got to spend probably part of every day with him.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I got so it was. They laugh about it now. My family rags me about it sometimes. But on all the therapies that he had, it got to where the therapist would not even let me in the house because Zach could smell me, and he knew if his granddaddy was around, then I'd help him get out of whatever he was trying to do. Mm-hmm. And but we had a great time. We had a great relationship, and taught me then. That's so important for, I think, all of us as Christians that need to know is that communication is not limited to words for
Zach
Nicotine.
Did your Christian friends know how to relate to you and to Zach? I mean, did they meet your needs at that time?
Well, I got to experience this as a granddad. And I had to suffer through and watching my grandson, my daughter, my son-in-law and then my own grief in some respects as we went through this whole process.
But your ministry has come out of that situation.
All of that. And in reality, yes. I can answer that question yes and no. This is a good political answer. People understood to the depth that they were at the time, which was basically my depth. But no, they really didn't know how to relate. And that's the whole issue that we're trying to address in Pure Ministries.
Is that where the isolation comes in?
Oh, it is.
Because you feel like no one understands, and then it's an awkward subject. So I don't know what to say. So maybe if I just say nothing, you'll bring it up if you need to. And then, you kind of just isolate yourselves away from people. That's
exactly what happened. And I watched it happen more with my daughter and son-in-law, who were very involved in our church. You know, we really have what I call a two-week sympathy period, where the church body will gather around someone who's lost someone to death or, you know, some bad news, and they'll bring macaroni casseroles and, you know, fried chicken or what have you, wherever you are in the country, and they'll bring those to you and minister to you for about a two-week period. But we have a short attention span.
Yeah.
And in this situation, Zach was still here. And in so many situations where there is a pure child born or an accident occurs, life goes on. And so good, well-meaning, loving Christians are standing on the sidelines because they don't want to do something wrong. But what happens is that that family drifts away from that body.
That's why 90% of them are unchurched.
Exactly. In many cases, like in my daughter's case, for instance, and my son-in-law, the church has got to, we've got to win those people back. We've got to win their confidence. We've got to show them that we really care. You know, just putting a sign out front that we have special needs ministry, that doesn't cut it. You know, we've got to show these families that we really do care, because they may have had a bad experience, not at your church, maybe not even your denomination's church, but somewhere along the line they went strolling into a church, and particularly in this postmodern age where so many people have, they don't have a clue what church is, but they know enough to say, well, those people are supposed to be loving there. Let's go visit there and let's get loved on by this church.
Let me ask our listeners to give your church a little evaluation at this point. We know that 4 to 5% of all human beings, and that includes children, are mentally disabled. Are they in your church? Have you seen them there? How many of them are in wheelchairs? How many wheelchairs are at the front of your church? And how many of them have children in them? We know that the physical illness occurs in a high percentage of children. Do you see them at your church? You know, is your church reaching out to them? Is it trying to say, we have a place for you here? You need the gospel of Jesus Christ, and your child does as much as anybody else. Why wouldn't we want to share it with you? And I don't care if they make noise. I don't care if they distract. This is what we're here for. And in fact, let me read a scripture that, as a minister, you're very familiar with. That's Luke 14:12-14. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your sisters or relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Boy, that's powerful, isn't it?
It is. If we, you know, if we just, and that's really, that's the verse I use an awful lot, because it spoke to me. And the reality of that speaks to the whole, I guess, the focus of what we're trying to do is we're just trying to get people to understand this is not something that we do to a group of people. This is including a group of people and incorporating and involving them in the fellowship, in our local fellowship, and sharing the gospel with them. You know, it's a great evangelistic tool. You know, I try to approach churches that are evangelistic, and I said, you know, do you understand that, for instance, right here from where we are here in Colorado Springs, and I said, do you know if you could just go 10 miles in a circle from this one point, there'd be thousands of moms with special needs kids that are just trying to make it to supper time. And then when supper time comes, they're going to be trying to make it to bedtime. And then in so many cases in these families where there's issues, the children don't sleep well, and so everybody in the family is tired, and they stay tired, and it's not going to change tomorrow. It's not going to change next week. And so,
you know, the statistics that I gave earlier, that 80% of the families with these problems are eventually divorced. That means there's a huge number of single mothers and a few single fathers who are out there trying to deal with this alone. Mm-hmm. Is there a church around there that can understand that and help carry the load? You know, they can never get away. They can never get out. They can never go out to eat.
One of the ways we're trying to change people's ideas about what traditionally called special needs ministry in a church looks like.
Yeah.
And what we're calling pure ministry is not, you know, we traditionally think special needs ministry in the minds of most Christians even is a classroom in the basement that happens on Sunday morning, if it happens at all. And so we are trying to get across the notion that pure ministry is just Christians relating on and loving other people. The fact that they are pure or the fact that they have a disability is really insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not addressed in Scripture as an exception that we can, an excuse we can make to Jesus one day when we're standing before him. Well, you know, we just felt so uncomfortable. We felt so awkward. Well, unfortunately, that's not going to cut it as an excuse. So we're trying to think and actually promote new and we think better ways to initially start or begin ministry.
Dad, we had Emily Colson in here who said she didn't leave her home for over a year. Literally never left her home because she's got a son with special needs who's a great kid. She wrote a book about it called Dancing with Max.
Yes.
But Reverend Glover, I've got a question for you. The churches that you don't see anybody with special needs in their congregation, my viewpoint on that is they have a bad doctrine because the pastor can't answer the question of why would God allow this, and therefore I can't look at it because I can't give my congregation the answers. I think it's bad doctrine. I think it's bad theology. You can't look at that and say, well, this is how God created us. We live in a fallen world. These things happen. There's no doctrine to back it up. You can't explain it to your congregation. So better to, let's just, you know, there's another place for it.
That's
it's just
right.
not
and,
this place.
You know, you're exactly right, Ryan. I've got so many emails and letters that if I were to share of so many families that not only were discouraged when they went and visited a church that wasn't prepared for them, but are actually asked to leave and not come back.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of unbelievable, but trust me, it happens. And in fact, that's just one of the main issues that pure parents must deal with, is that feeling of guilt that there was something and somehow God is getting back at them. And in reality, if we read that passage you just read there in Luke, Dr. Dobson, we find out that really, and most people will listen to what I'm about to say, and they'll say, well, yeah, that sounds great, but is it really true? These pure parents will tell you after it's all over that they were blessed. They were the lucky ones. They were the special ones. They were the blessed ones because they had a child that way.
Well, Reverend David Glover, it's been a pleasure having you here today, and I'm really enjoying this conversation. I'm sure others are too. And you really have, again, sensitized me to the needs that are out there. And I want to do another program with you if you'll stay with us and take it a step further. I want to know more about your own ministry, what Pure Ministries is all about, what you're trying to accomplish, how you're going about it, how people can get in touch with you. In fact, Luann, you and Ryan are going to let people know they can reach you on the internet. But at any rate, it's been good having you here. Let's talk again next time.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dobson. I've really enjoyed it.
And, Doctor, I'm sure that there is someone listening right now who even knows of a family who struggles like this, daily caring for one of these pure children. And they could really benefit from this broadcast today. I would invite all of you to please share this with them or send them a link to this interview. All of this information can be found at drjamesdobson.org or give us a call. We'd love to talk with you more about it, 877-732-6825.
And if you're interested in learning more about David Glover's ministry, maybe you've been convicted to start an outreach like this in your church. You can find his website, which we've linked to, at drjamesdobson.org. And while there, take a look at the Solid Answers link, because it provides excellent parenting resources. And finally, for those of you who are able, would you consider giving financially to the Ministry of Family Talk? We are completely listener-supported, and your help would be appreciated at this time. And you can donate by calling us, 877-732-6825.
And we thank you for that in advance. Also, we thank you for tuning in today. Join us tomorrow when Reverend David Glover returns to explain a little more about how you can get involved in reaching everyone in your congregation with the good news of Jesus Christ. That'll be right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.